success and started our ministry here as assistant pastor back in 1934. And it's been a church home ever since, so we don't get here very often. Of course, a lot of folks don't get home very often anyway. We praise God, though, for the opportunity this week to be your Bible teacher. We're going to be speaking throughout the week on the series that we have entitled The Holy Spirit Works in the Believer, as from the book of Ephesians. This morning we're speaking on the subject, Every Blessing of the Spirit in the Heavenly in Christ, from verse 3 of chapter 1. Tonight we'll be speaking on the sealing or earnest of the Spirit, or the habitation of the believer within, of the Holy Spirit within the believer. Tomorrow night, the illumination of the Spirit, then throughout the week, strengthened by the Spirit. Then we will be dealing with grieving the Spirit and finally concluding 3 or 4 lectures on the infilling of the Spirit. From 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is debauchery, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. This is a Bible study, not a preaching theory. Therefore, bring your Bible, pray, reach out by faith to take what the Holy Spirit reveals. Do not expect to passively be fed, but as the Holy Spirit reveals His will, by faith you must pray. I wish sincerely that each of you would read the book of Ephesians through every day. If you read very fast, it won't take but a half an hour. I can read the whole book through in 13 minutes. I'm not saying that I gather a whole lot, by the way, if I read it that way. Every believer should at least one time in their life memorize the book of Ephesians. You'll never be the same. Never. You'll find an enrichment of your life you never dreamed was possible. The subject of the whole series, the Holy Spirit within the believer, there are 10 distinct ministries of the Spirit in the believer in the book of Ephesians. We shall only deal with part of them, leading up to his fullness in the believer. There are two extremes today, ignorance of the Holy Spirit's work and fanaticism. Both are wrong. Fanaticism would make only the work of the Holy Spirit an experience of emotionalism, while ignorance is caused from three things. One, the arch enemy. The devil hates all emphasis of the ministry of the Spirit in this dispensation. The reason is simple. We're living in the dispensation of the Spirit. Jesus said, hitherto the Father worketh, and now I work. Then when Christ's work was finished, and he ascended on high, he sent the promise of the Father. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost with a distinct ministry for this dispensation. And the Holy Spirit knows, or rather I should say the enemy of our soul knows, that if the Holy Spirit is ignored, the work that God intends within you as a believer will not be completed. And you will suffer great loss. And the church will not fulfill its ministry of telling the world about Christ. The Holy Spirit seeks to make his ministry known. Certainly the New Testament is replete with his ministry. The second cause of this ignorance is on the part of the believer as not studying what the Spirit has revealed in the New Testament concerning his work. The third cause of the ignorance is the lack of obeying what the Holy Spirit reveals. Nothing in the world will cut off light as quickly as light refused and light rejected. Light not receptive. We're living in foreign days of demon activity just before the return of our heavenly bridegroom. And I believe as never before, we need a re-emphasis of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need more to study about him, about his work. May he himself fill these services, anoint the speaker, warm your heart, illuminate your heart, reveal unto you what he can do for you, in you, through you, during this week. If you have an ear to hear, hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Let him warm your heart. He yearns over you. If he reveals a step of faith for you to take, take it. If he reveals the sin, confess it and forsake it. If he reveals the weight that's unnecessary in your Christian life, lay it aside. If he reveals new territory, new ground for you to possess, possess it. Let me say this morning in the words of James, the Spirit loveth us to jealous envy. He yearns over us. What we should be speaking on this coming week from the book of Ephesians is the thing nearest to the heart of the Holy Ghost within you, my Christian friend. I know that he will speak to you. I would not come over here to give this series of lectures if I didn't think so. I know that he'll be here. I know that he'll honor his word. And I know that he will tell you what he wants you to do. We're living in a day when the saints are dry and arid and barren. They remind me of a well on a farmer's farm. He had a prospective buyer, and the buyer says, "Is there any water on the farm?" He said, "Oh yes, we've got a wonderful well. It gives the purest water in the district." He said, "There's just two things wrong with it. It freezes up in the winter and dries up in the summer." I'm afraid most saints are only spasmodic in their spirituality. Now for our subject and this text, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ. This is the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians. We shall show you why we say the Holy Spirit in this verse. From 3 through 14 is only one sentence in the Greek. All the English has a lot of periods, but they don't belong. You'll notice the next sentence begins with a relative pronoun, showing that it belongs to the same sentence. One of the longest sentences in the Bible. And it's all a grand doctrine. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, standing here in the vortex of what God is doing, bound by two Roman soldiers, bound in body, but not bound in spirit. Paul looks back to eternity past and he sees the eternal plan and purpose of God before God ever made a thing. Verse 4, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, predestinated in love under sonship, the adoption of sons. Looking forward to the completion of the whole thing, when God shall gather up as an arithmetical sum all things in Christ. He looks back and he looks forward and he sees the whole panorama of the program of God. And he says, blessed be God. He breaks out in a eulogy. He breaks out in a hymn of praise. Now, if you can read Ephesians and not count, you're dried up on the stump. There's something wrong with your Christian experience. A few years ago, I was teaching the book of Ephesians in St. Petersburg. And I was working at the time, having to be busy in my store, and I had to study for that night, and I was in the back room poring over the third chapter of Ephesians. I was sitting there in the seats, and the more I studied, the more I filled up. I couldn't stand it anymore, and I got up and began to walk up and down in the back saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God." And I got over at the door, and I looked out, and there was a woman standing in front of the counter. She looked at me as though she thought something was wrong with me. She didn't know something was right with me. And I thought, I ought to explain, and I said, "Sister, I was just studying the book of Ephesians, and I got so happy I couldn't stand it, and I had to shout." She said, "I know I'm a Baptist." I don't know if she knew or not, she didn't sound like it. Paul breaks out into unity. And that's the first of four things I want you to see in the text. And that's the blessing. The giver. Paul uses the Greek word unikita. It's only used of God in the New Testament. There are three other derivatives that are used of man, but this is only used of God. It's used in the great doxology of John concerning Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and majesty and ends with unikita. The unity. What does the word mean? Our English word unity comes from, and it's transliterated from. It means to recount the praise or the virtues or the excellencies of another person. Well, that's what it means in the Greek. Paul says, "Let me recount the virtues of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens." That's the secret of praise, my Christian friend. Begin to recount the excellencies of God. Let your heart go out and praise to God for what He is and who He is and what He's done. The first thing you know, your heart will overflow. The fullness of God will fill your soul. The first thing you know, you'll say, "Move over, Paul. Let's make a duet out of this thing." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Here's the blessing. Here is the one who spared not His own Son, but freely offered Him up to us all. How shall not let Him also freely give us all things? Note this. Let me illustrate. Jesus said, "If ye be evil, know how to give good things unto your children." Now notice the expression, "know how." How much more? You underscore that in your Bible. How much more your Heavenly Father will give good things unto them that ask Him. That's one thing. In another text, it says, "Give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him." Well, they are synonymous. They're the blessings of the Spirit that we're dealing with this morning. Here is the giver. The second thing I would have you to notice is the blessing. Paul can't recount eulogies enough, so he uses three forms here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all blessings of the Spirit." He seems to like to say it. It breaks out. His great heart first expands, it overflows. When he thinks of what God's given him. You get along with God and let the Spirit of God begin to reveal in your heart what God has deposited in your account. Now that you're in Christ, the first thing you know, your little cup can't hold the blessing either. It will overflow. Your heart will fill up. You'll have to be like the dear saints of old, like F.C. Meyer, who said, "Oh, God, stay your hand. I can't hold anymore." Here is the blessing. The Greek has it, "who hath blessed us with all blessings of the Spirit." This is not an adjective here, blessing. A spiritual that is not an adjective modifying blessing. This word, pneumatike, means things pertaining to the Spirit of God. So I'd rather read it this way, in two or three translations, do. "Who hath blessed us with all blessings of the Spirit." This breaks all bounds. All blessings. The Greek is individual. Every blessing. Take each one and recount them. And the rest of Ephesians is going to be busy doing it. We take some of them through the week. The blessings of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. In the heavenly. Here is copious fullness. We're going to be dealing with all week. Climaxing it would be filled with the Spirit. Here is the rivers of living water that Jesus promised in John 7:37-39. Oh, everyone that thirsteth let him come and drink. Then he goes on to say, out of his innermost heart shall flow rivers of living water. This they see of the Spirit. They that breathed on him were about to receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. Rivers! Not cricket, not dry stream bed. Rivers! Copious not. We read on the day of Pentecost, he hath shed forth. The Greek is, he hath poured out this which you now see and hear. 3:19 says that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. 5:18 says, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Copiousness, abundance, every blessing of the Spirit in Christ. Every. We seem to have the idea that God has a few favors, to whom he gives his abundance, and the rest of us must stand on the sideline and admire their experience. That isn't true. That isn't true. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing of the Spirit in Christ. We bring our little buckets to service, to conference, to revival, to different fields, only to have them to evaporate. Gradually dry up, the blessing leak out, the joy diminish, the victory subsides. Until die in parts, we look for another meeting to get our buckets full again. How much better the words of Jesus, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. Spring up in the everlasting life. That's better than a bucket brigade. That's better than continual trips to the well to draw. That's not pumping. That's an artesian well springing up. All of God's blessings are wonderful, child of God. All the Holy Spirit's activities within the believer are wonderful. All believers have intermittent joy, spasmodic victory, partial blessings, seasons of power. But all for the spring, the river. Perennial. Your old H.C. Morrison said he knew of a spring up on the Tennessee River. I heard him say this in Pampia one time. And he said, the spring would flow out pure and wonderful, and then the muddy freshets in the spring would come, spring of the year, and the Tennessee River would arise and inundate the spring, and it would disappear. But he said, after all the fresh and feathers and water would decide, there is a spring still going as beautiful and pure and as potent as it ever was. A lot of things are like that. I've known them in all my ministries. A revival would come along and people begin to shout and holler and cut up and get emotional, and then this year old thing over there was the backbone of the whole thing anyhow. They were praying for it. They come along and say, why do you be happy? Why aren't you being blessed? Well, bless your heart, they're just as full as they are. You let the revival evaporate and the other folks settle down and go back to normality again. And this dear child of God is flowing just as rich and so spring water. Every blessing of the Spirit. No further, here is the sphere. I wish we had time to take the whole sermon into one of these. In the heavens. That's an expression that only occurs in Ephesians 5 times. Love lift them up. That's the believer's new sphere of life. Jesus said, I have chosen you out of the world. Ye are not of the world. If you were of the world, the world would love you, for the world loveth his own, but you're not of the world. Second chapter says, we have been raised together with Christ and made to sit together with Christ in the heavens. Hebrews says in chapter 10, therefore let us draw nigh in full assurance of faith, in within the veil. We're a heavenly people. I wish every child of God could get that thoroughly in heart and mind. We're not of this world. We're a heavenly people. We're pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Our whole life now is to be lived in relationship with the one who sits in the heavenlies, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're identified with him. And then notice the condition in Christ. Now every believer is in Christ. Verse 1. Paul writes this epistle to the saints at Ephesus in Christ. I live in two places. I live in Newport, Mississippi, but I live in Christ. The very instant the Holy Spirit bred divine life in my heart, He placed me in the body of Christ. Identified with my risen Lord. The instant He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. When He arose from the dead, I arose with Him. When He ascended into heaven, I ascended with Him. When He sat down at the right hand of God, I sat down there with Him. See how Paul deals with that in Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In Christ. Here then, God says, it's all or nothing. I'm not going to give it any sin. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all blessings of the Spirit in the heavenlies in Christ. Note this. I trust that the Spirit of God will lay a deep hungering and thirsting upon your soul through the coming weeks. It will not be satisfied until you follow the precious Spirit's leading into the perfect fullness that He has for you. I can't tell you what all the blessings are that Paul says here. We'll enumerate some of them. The Holy Spirit must reveal them to your heart. Somebody was congratulating Reverend Archibald Brown one time on his devoted Christian life and his wonderful ministry. Archibald Brown said, well, it isn't anything on my part. It's very simple. He said, 50 years ago, I tapped into the main line and the spigot has been open and running ever since. I want to close with an illustration. I think Jesus had it in mind. It's too close to be a coincidence. You'll find it in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. It's the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus. It's the rebuilt city of Jerusalem that shall be rebuilt in the millennial reign of Christ in the land of Palestine. It's the rebuilt temple on Mount Moriah. But here is the picture I want you to get. The river of living water flowing out of the temple of God to bless the whole land. Jesus said, out of your innermost parts shall flow rivers of living water. Same thing. You must have it in mind. So I'm going to draw the analogy. There are four pertinent things in this illustration. The first one is the source. The second one, the cause. The third one, the life-giving attributes of the river. And fourth one, the ever-increasing depth of the river till it reaches the sea. Notice the source. It's very specific. It comes out of the house of God, the sanctuary. And it comes out of the altar, by way of the altar. It comes from the heart of God. It's received from God's own heart as a river of living water. The source is God. The fulfillment is the altar. And so are these rivers of living water that Jesus said would flow out of our lives. My friend, these rivers of living water do not emanate from your life. This faith ye of the Spirit. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him were about to receive. Notice the course. The angel Gabriel, whom I believe was the revelator of Ezekiel, takes Ezekiel over by the brink of the river, and he shows him the river flowing through the desert and healing the sea. Here is the course of the river, not intermittent, not stagnant pools. Not a well that dries up in summer and freezes over in the winter, but a river flowing from the throne all the way to the sea. All the way through! Christian friend, this morning, you can enter into an experience through the Holy Spirit that will take rivers of living water out of your life that will flow throughout your whole life and bless everyone around you. That's the second thing I have to say. It's beautiful. This river of living water was fructified. It brought fruit on both banks. I like that. Both banks. And not only that, we read every month it bore fruit. Every month. The angel Gabriel took Ezekiel by the river and he said he saw the fruitful river flowing, bearing fruit on both banks. And the fruit did not die. The leaves didn't fade. And everywhere that the river went, it healed and it gave life. Everywhere. Everywhere. Jesus said, out of his innermost parts shall flow rivers of living water. Christian friend, let me ask you this morning, are there rivers of living water flowing from you to bless folks around you? Are you bearing fruit on both banks? Are the leaves of your testimony faithless? Are you bearing fruit after each month's manner, as it should? Jesus said that is the normal experience. He that believeth on me, out of his innermost heart shall flow rivers. That's the normal experience. We have this idea that the spiritual life is abnormal. That isn't true. Then one more thing. The river got deeper as it proceeded to the sea. The angel took him out 1,000 cubits and it was ankle deep. He took him another 1,000 cubits and it was knee deep. He took him out another 1,000 cubits and it was loin deep. He took him out another 1,000 cubits and let me read it. A river that could not be passed over. We read. Waters had risen. Waters that a man could swim in. You think you got it all back there when you were saved 20 years ago. And your testimony has never risen any higher. I've heard folks. They told me what happened when they were saved 30 years ago and God hasn't been a thing for them. The river dried up right after they were saved. Now don't you blame God for it. It isn't God's fault. It's yours. It's yours. Brother, sister, there are rivers to swim in here. I thank God for this Christian experience. Gets deeper every year I live for Christ. He gets richer. Gets fuller. Joy increases. Rivers that a man can swim in. Quit paddling around the shore. I'll come back to my text again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing of the Spirit. It's yours. Tonight we'll see how he brings it to you. But it's all yours. The instant you believe. It's all laid to your account. Tonight we shall see you have to start possessing your possessions. Shall we stand for a moment of solemn prayer? Christian friend, ask God to speak to your heart. He's spoken to mine. This last week again, as I've been thinking of these things that we're going to say, the Holy Ghost is coming new to my heart. Ask him to measure your life. Ask him to measure the river. Is it ankle deep? Are you bearing fruit on both banks? Every fruit in each month, perennially for God. Our Father, we thank you for this period we've spent around the book. We don't ask you to bless our words, we ask you to bless yours. You said it wouldn't return unto you, boy, we would accomplish that word through our senate like the rain that comes upon the earth. That's exactly what we want this morning. We want the heavenly showers. We want the outpouring Spirit of God. We want the rivers of living water. Bless the people, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Now dismiss us with our blessing. Go with us. Get us apart this afternoon for a little season of prayer about tonight and about the week. You have your way and we'll love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.